Utah's governor is expected to sign a bill that will create the country's first ever white-collar criminal registry. The bill, passed by the legislature, would allow you to browse through photos of Utah's white-collar felons and see their eye color, height, weight, birthday. Other states are interested, but some defense attorneys are not so happy. Utah Attorney General Sean Reyes came up with the idea. He joins us now. Attorney General Reyes, thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin, for having me on.
Well, now we know of sex offender registries. Again, a person's photograph is put out to notify the neighborhood. But a white-collar criminal registry, who would get on the list? What would some of the crimes be?
Well, we wanted to target not everyone who commits a white-collar crime, but offenders who are the most serious offenders, second-degree felonies. So things including theft by deception, mortgage fraud, insurance fraud, what we call affinity fraud, which we loosely define as exploiting a relationship of trust to take advantage of someone that you know well, whether through social circles or church or some civic organization.
Mm-hmm. And do we understand to get off the registry, these offenders have to pay full restitution to their victims? Do you mean beyond whatever was agreed to in court?
No. Full restitution being whatever the terms of their sentence was. So, sadly, in most cases, restitution is never made. And so the average victim can expect to get next to nothing. I think some statistics peg it at 0.5%. And so, that was sort of the secondary purpose of creating a database or registry or list, is to incentivize offenders to make restitution, either on the front end during a negotiation and a plea, or on the back end as they desire to be taken off the list, Robin. But again, the primary purpose was to provide information to consumers and citizens to empower them to keep from being caught up in scams and schemes and frauds.
So you've said that this is a warning to consumers. Also, as you said, maybe a little bit of prodding to get these white-collar criminals to pay back their victims. But is it also about punishment? Because, Brett Tolman, the former U.S. attorney for Utah, Susan Bruhn, a lawyer who represents white-collar defendants, have both said this is over the top. Is this about sort of a scarlet letter, punishing somebody publicly?
No. Even those social scientists who look at reintegration, and our state's very supportive, we just passed a number of laws aimed at criminal justice reform. Our office gave a lot of input into that. We want people to be reintegrated back into society, to be productive, to be able to make the restitution, to be able to get on with their lives. So it's not about punishing people forever, but we think this is a fair balancing of the interests of protecting the public and also to help them, the victims, get back even a small percentage of what they've lost, and it's devastating. I've seen so many lives ruined. People say this is not nearly as serious as violent crime, and that's apples and oranges. Violent crime is horrible unto itself, but lives are devastated in other significant ways, and in some ways even more severely by these white-collar frauds.
Well, that might be one reason why you don't have a registry for people who have committed violent crimes, because it would just be punitive. It's not about forcing restitution or these other reasons that you've given for the white-collar criminal registry. And it's interesting because you seem to be doing more, some could say, than the federal government has done for the white-collar crimes committed by Wall Street. But you mentioned church in passing, and we know Utah is 62% Mormon, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, close-knit communities. You've said that this factors into the prevalence of white-collar crime in Utah. How so?
Well, affinity fraud, which is one of the areas that we're targeting with this registry, is exploiting a relationship of trust. People who go to church with each other often have an incredible amount of trust. Unfortunately, predators can exploit that trust. And as you mentioned, given the high predominance of one particular religious community, there are people who would exploit those connections from church. But it's not solely an LDS issue. I think the largest case of Ponzi scheme in U.S. history was the Madoff case, and many of the victims in that case were of one particular faith. I worked on another case, the Sir Alan Stanford case, which is a $9 billion or so case, the second largest. And Most of the victims were all from a different type of faith or religion. And so it was just the commonality.
Yeah, it had to do with the closeness of the people.
Absolutely. And yeah. So it can be anything. It could be people from a social club. It can be people from the same soccer team. They just exploit our human tendency to want to believe the best about each other.
That's Utah's Attorney General Sean Reyes. Again, he backed legislation that the legislature passed this week approving the first white-collar felon registry in the country. The governor is expected to sign it into law. Attorney General Reyes, thank you.
Thank you.